go. Pop toast, your vulture controls your mind and your grind till you become a sculpture. The pop culture vulture controls your mind and your grind till you become a sculpture. Yeah. Welcome to pop culture. Welcome to your cult. Pick and call your sculpture. Picking at your brain like a vulture. Picking up the slack where you had game now. Dysfunction with every twit, bleep, or blip on your iPhone. Surprise, homes, guess who they got? Stay eye on, you gotta know by now. Fight the eye, homes, you gotta do or die. That's how you survive, clones. How can you stay alive, living someone else's life? Now your mind gone, guess you don't mind born. Guess you know what to say, if you had to, so who know what to say? Cause they glad to, you know they place and know what held you down. Can hold you down too, hold you down with a sound that surrounds you. Protect you, inject you with the energy to interject to. Intersect, causing heck, cause we meant to. Mentally and physically ready. Cut right through the pop culture vulture. Controls your mind and your grind till you become a sculpture. The pop culture vulture controls your mind and your grind till you become a sculpture. Yeah. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. Jack and Jay-Z to Biggie verse detected. Jack until I'm packing it, why do we eject it? Take it to your face, now your brain expect it. Predict the program, unpredictably hectic. Saw Pac get resurrected. Stop, my block needs a Pac too, now check it. How they trying to wreck it? Coke rap is all they respected. Now why would that be? Check your head, get. Check how your skin been set up for you to do a bid. Get it quick, now get the heck out of it. You think I'm out of it, out of my mind? Not this time, you prove them in your deal with it and stop crying. Stop lying, try to say the game just fine with a bunch of little kids in you and mine. I go at each line with a weaponized mind. Say, repping my grind for mankind, you man mine. Sorry, sweetie, spot that time. It's even man worth staying, so you can state your state of mind. Not saying I can save you, but saying I'm trying to see you saying that to you without lying. Who's saying what they saying to you? I'm just trying to steal the right lines that help them control your mind. The pop culture vulture controls your mind and your grind till you become a sculpture. The pop culture vulture controls your mind and your grind till you become a sculpture. Yeah. Who shot you shorty? Man, I was naughty. Gonna take a real man to put down the 40. Gonna need a 38 or 44 shortly. They wanna shoot you back. That a boy, see? We learn to love guns and we learn to love fun. So put them both together, see the mother suckers run. Try to shoot, I'ma shoot back. That's how the game won. Gun in my left hand, pen in my right one. The right one wrong at a time, one time for your mind.
One, two.
One, two.
Part two.
Check, one, two.
Hope you don't mind what I find to be a crime. But this time you're taking out a stick of trash in your prime. Day of May 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.fm online,
and Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. I do host the Rood Awakening shows here on CKLN Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 6 to 7 a.m. My colleague, JD, hosts on Fridays from 6 to 7 a.m. So please do be sure to tune in for those shows and, of course, for the great jazz DJs that come on after me every morning. it's fantastic. I just, yesterday, walking through TDOT, coming back from scribbling up a couple of songs in the annex, including the Pop Culture Vulture, the one you just heard to open up the show, just some straight up boom bap MC track hip hop. Just thought I'd drop that last night. And yeah, this radio show is really interfering with my ability to record music. I wonder why I'm on 4 days a week. Because I do end up, you know, crashing out around 1:30, and then waking up around 4:30 to come down here. But you know, if you got something to get up for, then sometimes you can find ways to get up. So anyway, working on some music in the annex yesterday and some ideas, and then I head down to through Kensington Market. I just decided on a whim to walk south along Spadina, and I ran into an awesome huge street festival in there, sort of like a car free day. Bicycle coalition. And a bunch of people in, you know, drum circles and just people just having a blast in Kensington Market. And it reminds me of what we have in this city and how amazing this city is with respect to the quality of the people. You know, there was just, you know, there's probably a couple thousand people there. No cops anywhere, which was odd, but, you know, whether they were there or not, it proves that we don't need to necessarily be policed all the time, just because there's a lot of us. We're not that naturally violent. And if they're there, they're there. If they're not, they're not. There have been instances where it's been fairly innocuous and instances where it's been a little bit overbearing. But again, that's something that we, the people, have to prove that we can deal with. And so I'm here and I'm just watching people wild out at this drum fest, and it's all sorts of different colors and races and creeds, and everybody's just getting along to the primal power of the drum and of the music, and as certain notes kick in, people can't help but start to try and dance. And so I'm just chilling out watching that for a minute, and then I dip to go work on a few other things. But yeah, it's been a fun few days. I did poster for 13 hours straight on Thursday. I got home around 5:30 in the morning, and getting kind of sick of the lack of activity before the G20. You know, just to and this is the thing. This is something that we've known for a while now. Apathy breeds apathy, and laziness breeds laziness, and fear breeds fear, and then you got to find someone else to blame because you don't want to feel really bad about all this. So, you know, you might, you know, lash out at anybody, or just blame the culture itself, and you feel you're far less empowered in this culture than you are. And I played a clip last week from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, the Alan Watts radio show on the Republic Broadcasting Network, where a caller was calling into, you know, the show. Clearly smart enough to understand, you know, more or less what's going on in terms of this type of information. So, you know, a reasonably bright individual. But he says to Watt, you know, he says, oh, yeah, you know, I know I've been whacked by the chemtrails and by the GMO foods. And, oh, man, I know the brainwashing's got to me. And, you can talk yourself off a cliff like that, you know, and then you catch people who, you know, wonder why the heck you're so depressed about, you know, what is essentially a great world to live in. Excuse me, a great world to live in, a great place to be, a great place to hang out here on the little marble we call planet Earth. So you know, just bring that up to break down to people, you know, the idea that we're not totally screwed, you know, just because there have been a lot of attacks on us. The people I'm talking about here on this show, here on CKLN 88.1. Rood Awakening, as I host it, include the New World Order, basically a system of globalization the wealthy people of the world, led by the Anglo-American establishment, want to, well, they basically want to, well, they basically want to control the entire world and depopulate the world. And what does that mean? What does that mean to us? What does that mean to you? Well, Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com does a phenomenal job usually of explaining this. And I like to start off sometimes Monday's show by playing him because he's a big picture context guy. And he'll I mean, in some ways you might feel stupid because you got conned, but I don't. You know, I'm just like, wow, look at the game you guys been running. Look at the game you Anglo-American establishment, you colonialist powers, and of course your descendants and your banking establishments using your fiat money you print out of nothing to loan to the world and then buy it at by using debt. Let's see what you've been up to. This is from...
Go they'd win. They've got so much luck, don't they? They always seem to get what they want. But what surprised me was when we're cutting through the matrix in Ottawa. And it's 3 weeks away, it says, from the event where Canada will be on the world stage, and I want to be proud of Canada. For now, I'm embarrassed, he says. An interview with CBC News earlier today, Toews defended the security estimate as the most efficient and effective use of public money for Canada's unprecedented hosting of back-to-back international summits. He also insisted the estimate was not a cost overrun. This has been budgeted for, he says, and the money is released as it is required, Toews said. I love this stuff when they always say that, that they find money down the back seats and stuff, you know, in Parliament. They just find it. You know. The estimated cost for security over the course of 7 days, for $1.1 billion in June dwarfs the amount spent at previous international summits and is expected to surpass the $898 million spent during the Vancouver Olympics, which spanned 14 days. The official price tag for security at last year's G20 summit in Pittsburgh was listed at $18 million US, according to municipal and US federal officials. Now, the thing is, too, so the extra cash is for their food and stuff, you see, because these guys don't eat the crap that ordinary Canadians have to eat. They don't eat GMO stuff, and they actually have meat and stuff that really has taste to it, you know, especially grown stuff that doesn't have injections, and a chicken that isn't brought up in these factory farms. They actually have taste to it, so I guess it's very expensive for real food these days, and you must get a special pass to have access to it. But yeah, these guys live very, very well. And I remember a few years ago when they had one of these big summits in Vancouver. That was the famous one where they put all the protesters about half a mile away from the road, and the cops used things about the size of fire extinguishers on them for tear gas, just to make sure they got the message. And it was all over the papers, but a little scandal broke out after that. They spent a fortune securing prostitutes, both male and female, lots of male ones, for these international visitors. Because, you see, that's normal diplomacy, apparently. That's all factored into it, flying in high-class male and female prostitutes and things of their liking. Because there are different sets of laws at that level of society, and apparently it's a very ancient tradition that must be carried on. So that will be included in this bunch as well. I'd like to have a look at these characters, but I guess that won't happen. I'm just a little plebeian at the bottom. Back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Alan Watt, and we're cutting through the matrix. The matrix is an amazing place, isn't it? You're born into it, and it's drummed into your head from a very, very early age that what you see around you is reality, and your parents don't know to tell you any difference, and you try and conform into that reality. And if you don't conform quite properly, now they drug you to death and all this kind of stuff to make sure that you're compliant and a good, what they call a responsible citizen. That does what you're told to do. You work, you pay taxes, you go home, you watch TV, and you talk about nothing except trivia. And that's very good for those who manage society, you see. But then you wake out of the matrix, you break out of it, hopefully, And if you do, you'll have a hard time communicating to those around you, because they are still in it, and they quite like it, actually. It's all they've ever known. It's Plato's cave for them. And people can live and grow their whole lives and learn nothing when you're totally indoctrinated into a system. They learn nothing at all. They don't study human behavior. They don't observe by themselves, those around them. And they keep voting the same way, too. In fact, they keep voting. That surprises me at all. They keep voting. And in democracy, they always say that you don't vote a new party in. You're so sick of the last ones, you're voting them out. And they never learn that promises are never fulfilled. They're always broken. And that's what politicians do. They're called liars. And they compromise. How can you have something you truly believe in and compromise on it? You can't. You have no integrity if you do. Well, they compromise in everything. And that's what they tell the public. Well, we have to come to an understanding and compromise, and here's the deal. So it's your own fault when you get them in and you keep doing it. This left-wing, right-wing paradigm always makes me laugh. I've laughed since I was a child at left-wing and right-wing. And I sure enough, I grew up too with people saying, I vote this because my dad did too. And, you know, you can't vote for that other bunch. And they both had their suppositions drawn up for them by those with the words and so on at the top. And they get examples like this one here. And this is like satire. And it's from a mainstream article about something that's actually happened. But it's satire, isn't it? And they won't change anything, but they never learn from anything either, from those that have gone before and did the same thing from parties. And this one's particularly about the Labour Party. It says, and it's from the Mail Online. Lord Preza gives up class war. You see, pretending he was a good, you know, Oxford-trained or Cambridge-trained working man type, you know, which is like alien to me. But anyway, it says, Lord Preza gives up class war, but I'm only taking a peerage, that's a knighthood, to turn Pauline, who's his wife, into a lady, he says, you see. I mean, it's utter hypocrisy, but what do you expect from politicians? And 28th of May, John Prescott completed his transformation from working class bruiser to establishment pillar yesterday when he accepted a peerage. And this is the excuse he gave to placate his wife's fury over his affair with a secretary. That's the rubbish they turn out to the public. Really. They can't get it through their heads that they're all the same and they all want to get up there and get that little knighthood and get special privileges and be included then into a new set of laws, where they can do certain things that's not unlawful anymore at that level. That's really what it's all about. And plus, you see, it helps you after politics, because when you get a peerage and you're a sir or a lord, then you have more sway when it comes to working on behalf of the big international corporations as a lobbyist. I read that thing a few days ago with Ferguson, the Duchess, who's selling her husband at $500,000 to get to him, because he's in charge of Britain's trade. And she said, you get it back tenfold. I mean, this is normal stuff. But you see, people who go into politics have told you what they are by the fact that they go into politics. Only the psychopathic type get into politics. A truly honest person would be demolished by those around them, the peer group in politics, if you don't take your little scams, you know, little bits out the kitty and so on, like they all do. They test them out. There's been a couple of politicians in the whole history that I can remember in Canada who actually wrote about it. They said if you don't join them in all their scams and wheelings and dealings, they'll set you up to ridicule you and get you out because they can't trust you. You'll open your mouth. That's the reality. It's always been like that, though. Only the psychopathic type goes into politics. And here's this weasel claiming to placate his wife, he's taking the peerage, so she'll be a lady, you know, a lady. I wonder what she was before. Anyway, well, who knows these days, eh? And then it's all this going on. We've got things like the Billionaire Club. This article here, I've read it before, what happened at the time it broke out from the Irish news. It happened in New York, but it has to break out in Ireland, first of all, before anybody else would dare to pick it up. And this is from May 24th, 2009. It's from the Sunday Times. And it says, the billionaire club in bid to curb overpopulation. America's richest people meet to discuss ways of tackling a disastrous environmental, social, and industrial threat. And it says, some of the leading billionaires have met secretly to consider how their wealth could be used to slow the growth of the world's population and speed up improvements in health and education. The philanthropists, now remember what they said, the parallel government are run by philanthropists. And it seems once you're a philanthropist and get multi-million of dollars to back it up, like George Soros, you can go around the world and sterilize people, and there's no laws affect them for doing. Can you imagine if you and your neighborhood start to go into people's homes and sterilize them? Do you think you get away with it? You ever thought about that? If you did the things that these characters openly do and talk about, if you actually went and did it in your own area, what would happen to you? Well, how come it's any different here? That's why people go into the spin mode, you know, da-da-da. They can't, it's like double think. They can't fathom that one. But anyway, it says here, the philanthropist who attended a summit convened on the initiative of Bill Gates, you know that guy, that self-made wonder, ha, ha, ha. It says, the Microsoft co-founder discussing joining forces to overcome political and religious obstacles to change. Change. Change is good. You know, they snip you. Described as the good club. They love these names too. It puts you off. It puts you into double think. It's a good club, but it, you know, and most folk, again, go into that double, oh, click, click, click. They can't get past that. It's a good club. The words confuse them. By one insider, it includes David Rockefeller Jr., the patriarch of America's wealthiest dynasty, Warren Buffett and George Soros, the financiers Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, and the media moguls Ted Turner and Oprah Winfrey. These members, along with Gates, have given away more than £45 billion, £45 billion. They should pay for the summit here, you know, since 1996, causes ranging from health programs, they call it health programs when they sterilize you, in developing countries to ghetto schools near to home. Of course, it's a tax write-off for them too, mind you. They gathered at the home of Sir Paul Nurse. It's an interesting character, Sir Paul Nurse. He's a top guy on depopulation in Britain right now. A British Nobel Prize biochemist. I've got stuff on Nobel Prize winners too. I've got to put up there one day, and some interesting photographs of them, and it's some of the strange things they get up to, the little party meetings. They've had an odd thing in common with each other. Anyway, it says, the prize biochemist and president of the private Rockefeller University, that's who Paul Nurse is, in Manhattan on May the 5th, the informal afternoon session was so discreet that some of the billionaires' aides were told that they were at security briefings. Stacey Palmer, editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy, said the summit was unprecedented. We only learned about it afterwards by accident. Normally, these people are happy to talk about good causes, but this is different, maybe because they don't want to be seen as a global cabal, he said. Everything that runs the world is cabals. Some details are emerging this weekend, however. The billionaires were each given 50 minutes to present their favourite cause. Over dinner, they discussed how they might settle on an umbrella cause that could harness their interests. Their interests. The issues debated include reforming the supervision of overseas aid spending to setting up rural schools and water systems in developing countries. That's the cover. Taking a cue from Gates, they agreed that overpopulation was a priority. Now, they said that at their last meeting, the previous meeting they had as well. And Gates, of course, came out and actually said that vaccination would help bring down the population. And again, folks go into that click mode again, double think. Well, good man, philanthropist, the good club, sterilization, depopulation, and go click, click. They can't put the two together. It confuses them.
Back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. That was the most recent show of Mr. Watt's talking about the $1.1 billion security tab for the G20, as well as, of course, elite aspirations, as he often breaks down. He's been studying this for years. And when I interviewed Mr. Watt, I asked him, you know, why he did this. And he said he's doing this for the kids. He's doing this to people that don't know, that are going to grow up in a crappy world if all this stuff gets normalized. And he also said that as a kid himself, he realized that while the British Empire had run the world for 500 years, everybody in England was broke, and they were all living on the dole and in government housing. And he was like, what the hell's going on here? How come, you know, the mother country stole everything and we don't get the benefit? And so he had an idea of how corrupt the global elites were for some time now. And towards the end of the clip that I just played, going through a globalist meeting on depopulation. That's right. That's what these folks are into, according to the Georgia Guidestones. I think in Elberton, Georgia. Look up Google Georgia Guidestones. You'll find it. My internet is working kind of slow. But the Georgia Guidestones have 10 commandments. And one of those commandments is that the population of the earth shall not exceed 500 million. So it's in perfect balance with nature. And how are they doing that? Well, they're doing that with everything. I mean, as Alex Jones from Infowars.com says, if you go to the heart of all this, eugenics runs everything. They're giving us toys to play with, not because they like us. They're giving us toys to play with to make us stupid and easier to kill. They're giving us health care, not because they like us. They're giving us health care because they can give us more diseases and then give us cures that don't work, and that makes us easier to kill. They're promoting sex. Promiscuity, and not because they like us and they want us to have like all sorts of crazy, wild, fun sex, but because they want to encourage promiscuity so that people have less interest in bonding and starting families and having children, which would, of course, result in lower population. So any way you slice it, that's pretty much what the people at the very, very top are into. And at meetings like the one Mr. Watt mentioned with people like Bill Gates, Oprah, Warren Buffett, and others, you can kind of see how they have a shared ideology, or at least a shared ideology that they work for. You know, on that note, I'd like to bring up a refugee camp in the heart of the city. Christie Pitts Park at the northwest corner of Bloor and Christie. I just happened to be walking by on Saturday, I think it was Friday, maybe. I just happened to be walking by. And I happened to manage to catch a bunch of, I think it was Friday. And then I went by again on Sunday. But I saw what it was. And for those of you folks out there who don't know, it's put on by Médecins Sans Frontières, a.k.a. Doctors Without Borders. And it's a little refugee camp right at the corner of Bloor and Christie. Now, we're listening to the instrumentals. It's called Life of a Teenage Champion by producer Thelonious Martin. Thelonious Martin. So, really catchy, fun beats. I thought I'd break these out today. I can't play no music with cursing no more on my show. I got a couple of complaints about that, and I think CRTC rules are 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., which makes no sense to me. First of all, if you don't like the show, don't listen, first of all. Second of all, you know, at 6 a.m., 6:30 a.m., 6:45 a.m., you know, what kids are up? They go to school by 8:30, so they should be up by 7-ish, 8-ish, and so on. But whatever, you know, it is what it is, and probably by the time I cleaned up my act. But the song we're listening to right now is called Tricks of the Mind, and I'd like to break down what the refugee camp in the heart of the city meant to me. So I bring up my video camera. I'm on the other side of the street, and I decide, even though I want to go someplace and work on something else, I can't pass up the opportunity to kind of lock this down, get a snapshot of what the hell this is. And it's a bunch of pictures on the outside of the barricade of war-torn situations. And, a woman pushing a grocery cart, you know, by a giant tank. Kids carrying kids on their backs, you know, clearly looking like they're starving and in need of help, and and so on. So a whole bunch of like situations of sweet colored people in war-torn situations. And it says over 40 million people have been displaced by war. Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, a bunch of happy young people there handing out information dressed in red shirts, and a really interesting spectacle. So I take my video camera, and I'm walking in. And I couldn't find the entrance, so I walked in through the exit, and kind of went backwards on the tour, but got the little open field there, where there's a bunch of little wooden huts, little wooden shacks, and each of these wooden shacks is a kind of like a treatment area, in third world countries where Doctors Without Borders services are needed, and it was quite morbid to see. You know, a refugee camp, a camp, a FEMA camp, you know, in my mind, you know, tangentially, but just a camp in the middle of the city, just absolutely nuts. But, you know, so I'm walking around shooting all these little huts, these little, sort of thatched roofs, roof huts. And I circle around to a guy giving a talk in front of a bunch of people, and the guy's giving a talk about vaccinations. And I was like, wow, what timing in this video, you know, 6 minutes in, I get to a presentation about vaccinations, just boom, stumble upon it. And it's a tall white guy dressed in a white kind of safari style outfit and kind of half doctor, half safari-ish. And he's talking about how, you know, they're trying to get as many vaccinations done as possible per hour and how they'll train, you know, the average person to go out there and do it, even if you're not a medical professional, because it's so important that they vaccinate everybody, and they have these little coolers there to keep the vaccines cool, and if they don't use them in time, then the vaccines will go bad, and there'll be a waste of the vaccine, and how important it was, and so on, and it just blew my mind, you know, there was a crowd of about 20 people there listening to this, and there's a whole crowd of Africans there, too, at a different display at different times, because the Bloor and Ossington neighborhood, Bloor and Christie, has a large, I believe, Somali population. I know I used to live near there, and so definitely a lot of Somalis, among others, in that area. And it was just an absolute surreal sight to me, because I know about the New World Order, and I know that the wealthy people of the world, Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, Mellon, Scaife, and the rest of these guys, put their money into foundations so they could control the response to their eugenics. They could control the activism, you know. What do their critics say, which, you know, isn't correct on purpose, so that, you know, their eugenics programs can be allowed to flourish and continue. And so, you know, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, they're spending $1.1 billion on security here for the G20 summit, so, you know, a bunch of whack job diplomatic envoys can come in and have fun with little boys here in this part of the world. I mean, this is horrible. You know, these guys can't do this to our city. You know, they can't just walk in and act like they're above the law. You know, they should walk in and obey the law. You know, at least. But anyway, so they're spending $1 billion in security there, and you know, billions on this and billions on that, and then you go to these war-torn areas, and they supply people with little thatched roof, you know, shaky, shady little huts where they can treat people. And then you know, focuses on vaccinations. And there's another display there. And on the vaccinations point, when I went back on Sunday, I was shocked. There was just a beautiful young blonde girl leading a whole troop of people through the display. It was quite crowded on Sunday. I think the last day it's here. Going to four cities across Canada, I think four biggies, Montreal, Toronto, Calgary, and Vancouver, maybe, something like that. You can look up refugee camp in the heart of the city online or Doctors Without Borders Canada. But you know, this beautiful blonde girl is leading this troop of people over to the display, and she says, oh, yes, vaccinations. And she's all, you know, happy to be giving her a little spiel about this. And this is horrifying because as you heard in the clip from the Cutting Through the Matrix show with Alan Watt, vaccinations are part of the elite's depopulation agenda. They were caught throughout the 70s with a NSSM 2000, National Security Strategy Memorandum 2000, document written by Henry Kissinger in the early 70s that called for global population control to make sure that America could continue to access resources, the world's resources, at an increasing rate, and so viewed the world's resources, not just its own, but the world's, as a U.S. national security interest. And so, you know, that was one of the latest justifications for depopulation. You know, this goes way back to Thomas Malthus, where Malthus came up with the incorrect theory that humans multiply exponentially in population arithmetically. So humans would go 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, whereas food would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then humans would outstrip the amount of food available on planet Earth. But he was proven incorrect. But even though it's been 300 years, the New World Order and the Anglo-American establishment and the eugenicist whack jobs in charge of all this still subscribe to that theory. So vaccinations are part of that. Through the 70s, the Filipino government, among many others, did investigations and found that there was a sterilant in the vaccines. And even to this day, the H1N1 shot will say may cause infertility problems, which is another way for saying it may sterilize you. It's the same thing, you know, regardless of how you slice it. And so, you know, and vaccines are often contaminated and they've never been proven to work. And there's 10 medical doctors. If you go to TorontoTruthSeekers.com, go to the meetup site. You can see 10 medical doctors like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Russell Blaylock, Dr. Barbara Lowe Fisher, Dr. Andrew Molden, Dr. Shiv Chopra, who's a microbiologist and a Health Canada whistleblower, who says that Health Canada is corrupt to the core, and many more who all, take vaccines to task because of basically what they are, which is little poison, little injections of poison into your body that are supposed to stimulate your immune system, but then sometimes your body's autoimmune response can cause problems. I campaign manager for Dr. Andrew Molden. Shout out to Dr. Molden, still doing great work on the vaccine issue. He's a top trained psychiatrist and trained medical doctor, and he exposed the fact that vaccines cause autism by causing microvascular strokes. And when I was campaign managing for him in North Bay in October of 2008, I got this explanation down in about 30 seconds. But see what I can lace you with now. All right, so you get injected with these foreign particles that are not supposed to be in your bloodstream. You know, the adjuvant, foreign disease particles, bits of metals like mercury, which you should not be injecting. No, for a couple hundred years, that mercury makes you stupid, so it shouldn't be in our tuna fish sandwiches or our vaccines. But they inject you with that, and your body's white blood cells naturally attack that. And even the vaccine manufacturers say that's what vaccines are meant to do. They're meant to stimulate your immune system, so your immune system goes nuts and kind of like works out and gets stronger, and you have more white blood cells that are focused on, you know, attacking this particular virus. And so if the virus really does show up, you'll be able to kick its butt, or at least the white blood cells in your body will know how to. That's a theory. Now, in reality, what happens, and other people have talked about the autoimmune response, though they haven't necessarily defined it this way, is that as these particles float through your bloodstream, they float through your arteries. Those are pretty big. They float through your veins. Those are pretty big. They float through your capillaries. Your capillaries are really tiny and thin, the very, very last pipes in the blood chain. And as they float into your capillaries and the white blood cells attack them, the white blood cells are large, they're aggressive, and they try and, you know, devour and demolish anything that's in your bloodstream that's not supposed to be. And so, you know, what they do sorry about this. Oh, where'd he go? All right. Anyway, what they do is they collapse and clog the capillaries. That's essentially what the white blood cells do when they attack the capillaries, you know, as it goes through your system. And so, you know, that's what causes a blood loss to certain parts of your body. And that's why you'll see a lot of autistic kids looking like just like stroke victims, because stroke's the same thing. When your blood vessels, basically your blood pipes, the vessels, veins, and capillaries collapse and cut off the blood flow to certain parts of your face, which causes it to stick, much like autistic kids. You can also cut off blood flow to different parts of your body. And so, you know, good to be aware of that, because you may feel fine. You know, and you could drink a pint of Drano and you might be okay. But inside your body, some crazy stuff could be happening. And then later, as you get chronically ill, as your body fights a lot of these particles like aluminum, mercury, and others that don't tend to leave, and your body's constantly at war with them, and they're constantly floating around your body, then you can develop chronic illnesses as well. But listen, blood's important. And I spoke to an EMS worker in Toronto on May 17th named Susan Ambler about bone marrow donations. So I'm going to allow Toronto's EMS to make a little plug here on the show. All right, May 17th, 2010. This is BK reporting for CKLN Radio. I'm here with Ms. Susan Ambler. And Ms. Ambler, you just asked me if I wanted to become a stem cell donor. I said to you I thought there may be some ethical implications with it, but I really wasn't very well informed about the issue. So you were about to inform me a bit about it as a Toronto EMS worker. Please let us know why you're asking people to become potential stem cell donors and what the process is.
Absolutely. It has nothing to do with embryonic stem cells, which are very a controversial subject. It's stem cells and marrow that people with leukemia, with ovarian or testicular cancer, with lymphoma or life-threatening anemia, it's that kind of stem cell or bone marrow that they need in order to survive their diseases. Now, right now, there are about 800 Canadians that are in hospital beds. They're waiting for transplants. Only 30% of people can actually find a match within their own family. So 70% of people rely on the kindness of perfect strangers in order to save their life, essentially. Right now, what we're trying to do through EMS Week and through an organization called Sherry's Mission is to get as many people onto the list as possible. Right now, it's predominantly Caucasian people on the Canadian registry, and we're looking for people of every ethnic group within Canada, because your best chance of survival is someone within your own ethnic group. So it's very important that we expand the ethnic diversity of the marrow registry. Now, donating stem cell and marrow is easier than it has ever been before. 80% of the time, it's a process that's very similar to donating blood, and it takes about 45 minutes. And pretty much painless. It's a needle prick that you would have if you donated blood or something of that nature. 20% of the time, you require a needle to be inserted into your pelvis to get marrow from your pelvis. Most people are back to their normal routine within 2 days, and they're treated with regular Tylenol or Advil. They don't even need a prescription for pain. That's how much the process has improved.
Even with like a drill or a prick into the bone, the process has improved to the point where people can recover from that quickly.
Absolutely.
Interesting.
And now in the past and in the very near past and in some countries that don't have the same sort of medical system that we do, it's still a drill into your pelvis, and it is a long process to recover, and it's much more involved. We're very fortunate here in Canada that every day, literally every day, the process is evolving, and hopefully one day we'll get to the point where 100% of the time you can do it through that blood donation type process.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question here. Can you run down what the stem cells are used to cure, and then run down any of the risks that people may have if they were to donate? Because this is going to be a cost-benefit analysis for some people, where they say, how important is this versus possible complications from any medical procedure? This one's not as significant as some, but it's more significant than others. So,
you know, it's actually very, very low risk. And what will happen is that if you are identified as a match, then One Match, a registered nurse at One Match, will contact you, and they'll let you know which process you have to go through. If it's the apheresis process, which is like similar to donating blood, if it's like that process, there's very little complications. Nothing more than you would have if you donated blood or if you had an injection at your doctor's office, that sort of thing. If you have to have it through the pelvis, then you're put under a local or a general anesthetic, and it's a surgery. It's an outpatient day surgery. So there are regular complications that have to do with that. But like I said, that's becoming fewer and fewer, and your registered nurse will go over that with you prior to, and you can make your decision at that time if you want to go ahead or not. So it's completely up to you. The recipient does not know that you're even a potential match until you have agreed and are going further in the process.
And then they do find out. Is there a way, can you guarantee that privacy right if you want it, or can you waive that privacy right? I mean, how does it work?
Absolutely. If you want to remain anonymous, that's absolutely fine. If you want to meet the person that you saved the life of, then they wait for 1 year, and then they will contact that party and ask them if they want to meet you. And if they do, then they set up that meeting. Now, that's in Canada. In some countries, they don't allow the donors and recipients to meet. Now, the great thing about this is that in order to get on the list, you don't have to donate blood. In the past, you had to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just a simple swab of your mouth. So it's painless. It takes about 5 minutes. There's a brochure you fill out. It's very quick. You can get them through the mail in a prepaid envelope. You can do it at home, sitting in the bathtub, sitting on your back porch. Take 5 minutes, mail it in the prepaid envelope back to One Match, and it's done. Any costs that you have that you incur, your subway fare to go to the clinic or to the hospital where you need to get the procedure done, all covered by One Match.
Okay.
So there's no financial expense to a potential donor whatsoever.
Very nice. Well, Ms. Ambo, you chose to answer the questions by taking care of the risk first. Now, once again, what do stem cells cure or help cure or alleviate conditions of?
People with many cancers, such as leukemia, ovarian and testicular cancer, lymphoma. There's also people with life-threatening anemia. So those are the big ones. But they're used to treat many, many different diseases. But for most people, like I said, it is the difference literally between life and death.
All right. Well, Ms. Ambler, and finally, where can people find out more about this if they are curious and if they do feel like they want to donate some stem cells?
Absolutely. You can go to sherrysmission.com, which is sharrysmission.com. Or to order a kit that will be sent to your house for free, you can go to onematch.ca, which is onematch.ca.
Toronto EMS worker Susan Ambler, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And very nice.
We're going to do a song that you never heard before.
Come on.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was EMS worker, Toronto EMS worker Susan Ambler, kind enough to share 5 minutes of her time with me at Dundas Square about a week and a half ago, I'd say, about 2 weeks ago, and been looking to get into that sherrysmission.com. I am here at right now. How does this all reconcile with everything that's been discussed today on the show? You know what? We got to work with everybody. Everybody's trying to do the best they can, and within the healthcare system, if I have an emergency, I'm going to appreciate having the emergency medical services worker, help me out. And that's the point of all this, and that's the point of sort of being here and kind of collectively recognizing, what our responsibilities are to listen to each other and not just talk and not just have an opinion that locks you in a box. I posted some videos on my blog, blackchristian.blogspot.com, that I did for the new film, United We Fall, just over a year ago, a year and a few months ago, February of 2009, I think. And in those videos, I use my given name. They chose to use my given name. People out there pretty much have the option. Gives each side plausible deniability. And so, I break down a song that'll explain that later. But anyway, the pointy-headed point is that, start off the show with people in Toronto and a bunch of people just chilling out in Kensington Market and having a good time, did some flyering earlier to kind of launch some ideas into this culture that I hope will be well-received. And to encourage other people too as well. I have absolutely no desire to be unique in the sense of contributing unique things to this culture, and I'm not. I'm not even saying I am. But when it comes to the activist side, we can all put ourselves out there and some of our thoughts as sovereign individuals to reflect how we feel about what's going on today. So did some flyering. Wandered through some Toronto, saw some people. You heard Alan Watt talk about the $1 billion in security. They're now, according to City TV News here from Infowars.com, Toronto police purchased 4, quote, sound cannons for G20 and saw some of these used last year in Pittsburgh. Look up some footage of the Pittsburgh G20 last year. Look at how people who pay $1 billion for security for a trade summit, international summit, against, a few thousand protesters. And just excessively, militarize the police against ordinary people who, by and large, are not violent at all, and certainly not armed remotely as well as the $1 billion with security. Wasn't quite this much at Pittsburgh last year, but could be even more here, according to this. And yeah, the people that said we need this much security says this is what the experts recommend. Yeah, those are the experts who got paid $1 billion. If they can get away with recommending that, they could have got away with recommending $10 billion, then they would have done that. But $1 billion is a nice round number, which we can keep in our minds and gripe about. And so that's the good news. So yeah, I'm at sherrysmission.com here as well, by the way. Definitely check that out and see what you think of it. I encourage you to do your own research. Some of these things are real. Some of these things are not. I looked into this a bit myself. I couldn't exactly tell in the larger picture, but have some concerns, but also have some hope. And if you move through the world, as Webster Tarpley said, with the pessimism of the intellect and the optimism of the will, then there is a good chance you will get a few good things done. I'm also here at the DoctorsWithoutBorders.org events page, 2010 Canadian Tour. Toronto's the second last stop. Next stop is in Waterloo at the Waterloo Public Square at King Street and Willis Way from June 3rd to 6th. Other crazy display there. A little black baby hanging in a little swing thing, just hanging down from some strings. Not baby, a doll and effigy. No, a little black baby doll there, little ticked off look on its face. And the doctor guy, after he finished the vaccine thing, was walking over. The tour guy, I don't know who he was, walked over to that. Just walked the whole crowd over to that display. And started talking about baby weight and had this little band, tied around the kid's arm. And if it's green, the kid's cool. If it keeps squeezing and you have like a 5-year-old kid, with an arm the size of a number 2 HB pencil, then the kid is clearly malnourished. And that was another test there. And to my mind, and you can take a look yourself, this is them normalizing eugenics and the future wars in the New World Order, One World Government System. The film United We Fall is premiering at the Bloor Cinema on June 18th. Tickets are $10. Go to Press4Truth, PressForTruth.ca to look at that, because United We Fall is about the North American Union, the SPP.gov North American Union plan to merge Canada, America, and Mexico into one country, which has happened pretty much bureaucratically, even though we still keep the trappings of our independent nations. Behind the scenes, a heck of a lot's been done to guarantee certain corporations control of certain resources and certain services that they provide to us in public-private partnerships, and to outsource jobs and so on and so forth, and to increase immigration, to increase their slave labor pool, and to continue increasing the prison industrial complex, to increase their slave labor pool, and so on. So, as part and parcel of all this, they're going to try and sell us a lot of hell and tell us to not use our senses and figure out, that it's hell. Nuit Blanche is a great example, where a lot of the art, a lot of displays are absolutely horrible and ugly in this city, and we're told to worship and respect them. This refugee camp in the heart of the city, seeing that little black baby hanging there and being an object of curiosity, and then, having a black mother volunteer her kid to test out the armband in front of everybody. Just surreal stuff to me. And I'm not saying this to pick on anybody, but I am saying this to say that 42 million people uprooted by war, as it says in front of me on the site in the refugee camp in the heart of the city ad, is not something that we should normalize. It's something that we should question the causes of, and not just donate to the people trying to facilitate reasonable conditions within worsening conditions, as it were. On Yahoo Canada here, mystery spirals on Mars finally explained. I said this a year ago in an interview with ISIS Wisdom on the ISIS Wisdom show, that if you thought you saw alien stories before, believe me, you're going to see a hell of a lot more coming up. You thought you saw one a month, it'll be one a week soon, as there's all sorts of crazy stories of lights and aliens and life on other planets. New World Order has plans to do two things. They want to use a war on terror to take our rights, and the global warming rapture to take our stuff, confiscate our property, tell us all to use less, and so on. And those are supposed to take care of a one-world government, where the one-world government would take care of failed states or rogue states within the globalized system, who would, of course, produce terrorists, and so they go after them. And then in those war-torn conditions to facilitate and normalize these aid conditions, which focus on vaccination, which leads to depopulation, as opposed to actually trying to uplift the conditions of the people there. They sort of, you know, leave them in miserable conditions and then do the best they can. And the global warming rapture to confiscate all our properties, stack us and pack us in compact cities, and get us off the land, because that's their property, as the New World Order sees it. But one of the things they have in their back pocket is an alien invasion. An alien invasion, that's right. They've been talking about this since the 70s. Basically said, well, look, if global warming is not going to work and people aren't going to believe that we all have to have a one world government to save the planet, then let's try an alien invasion. So, you know, that's in the cards out there. So when you see all this propaganda around this and around 2012 and around aliens and so on, just keep in mind, you can warn people about vaccines. Send them to VRAN.org and say, get an exemption form, learn a bit more, and tell someone else so they don't dumb us down, sicken us, weaken us, and depopulate us. You can also check out things like anti-G20 vandals hit Toronto ATMs from CBC News recently. And remember, the police sent in provocateurs to Montebello, Quebec for the FPP summit, and police provocateurs are fairly normal. Nothing against the police, although this article from the Metro here says they're being awfully secretive on page 2. Canadian Association of Journalists President Mary Agnes Welch says Toronto police won the award for, quote, the sheer stamina they exhibited in trying to block the release of information of public interest in today's Metro on page 3. So look into that a bit more. Nothing personally against the police. If things are really secretive at the top, then the police inside, including the good ones, could get really screwed and have no one to talk to. And so that's a bad situation here. Heat alert issued by Health Chief today. Keep in mind, it's going to be a scorcher. Do pay attention to that and dress well. Dress, have fun. Show it off. If you've been working on it, but there's a few more things to work on as well, including beating the New World Order. We got to share info at this time. Personally, I say screw the damn protest, because let them spend $1 billion and have nobody show. But what we do before that is something that we can all benefit from, especially before Canada Day. We got a month or so to get patriotic, so why the hell not? Great places to find out what's going on include Infowars.com. Bilderberger Group meeting is coming up. See what the people who run the world have planned for the world. And Agenda 21, Science and Sewage. I'm basically talking about the UN green agenda and how it's going to make the world brown and ugly. So Infowars.com is great. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. Alan Watts, fantastic work. Also has great news articles for you to check. TrendsResearch.com for wealth news. NaturalNews.com for health news. Locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, Toronto Street News, Street Papers, Statism Watch, Silsa Productions, a bunch more. People are alive in this city, and I know as my counter-psyop vibe gets a lot of radar back, and so that's the good news. On that note, though, we do have a pop culture vulture picking at our brains, so I'll leave you again with a track I just recorded last night, having some fun with it. The pop culture vulture, straight up MC track. I'll break it down in rhyme form for you. Have a great day, everybody. The People's DJ, Mr. David James, is coming up next.
The pop culture vulture controls your mind and your grind for you to become a sculpture. The pop culture vulture controls your mind and your grind for you to become a sculpture. Welcome to pop culture, welcome to your cult, pick your color sculpture, picking at your brain like a vulture, picking up the slack where you had game now, you just function with every twist, bleep or blip on your iPhone, surprise homes, guess who they got, stay eye on, you gotta know by now, fight the eye homes, you gotta do or die, that's how you survive clones, how can you stay alive, living someone else's life, now your mind gone, guess you don't mind born. You know what to say, if you had to, so who know what to say, cause they glad to, you know they place and know what held you down, can hold you down too, hold you down with a sound that surrounds you, protect you, inject you with the energy to interject to, intersect causing heck, cause we meant to, mentally and physically ready, to cut right through, the pop culture vulture, controls your mind and your grind till you become a sculpture. Pop culture vulture controls your mind and your grind till you become a sculpture. Yeah. Let me tell you dudes what I do to protect this. Shoot at you actors like movie directors. Jack and Jay-Z to Biggie verse detected. Jack until I'm packing a wad to eject it. Take it to your face, now your brain expect it. Predictive program, unpredictably hectic.
saw Pac get resurrected. Stop, my block needs a Pac too. Now check it, how they trying to wreck it. Coke rap is all they respected. Now why would that be? Check your head, get check how your skin been set up for you to do a big, get it quick. Now get the heck out of it. You think I'm out of it, out of my mind? Not this time. You prove me you'll deal with it and stop crying. Stop lying, try to say the game just fine with a bunch of little kissing. You and mine, I go at each line with a weaponized mind. Say, repping my grind for mankind. You man mine, sorry, sweetie, spot that time. It's even man worth staying. So you can state your state of mind. Not saying I can save you, but saying I'm trying to see you saying that to you without lying. Who's saying what they saying to you? I'm just trying to steal the right lines that help them control your mind. The pop culture vulture controls your mind. It's grind to you, become a sculpture. Pop culture vulture controls your mind and you grind till you become a sculpture. Yeah. Who shot you, shorty? Man, I was naughty. Gonna take a real man to put down the 40. Gonna need a 38 or 44 shortly. They wanna shoot you back. That a boy, see? We learn to love guns and we learn to love fun. So put them both together, see the mother suckers run. Try to shoot, I'ma shoot back. That's how the game won. Gun in my left hand and in my right one. The right one wrong at a time. One time for your mind.
1-2.
1-2.
1-2.
Check 1-2.
Yeah. Hope you don't mind what I find to be a crime. But this time you're taking out a ticket of trash in your prime.